This is Talk of Asian Marketing with a special emphasis on localized Chinese consumer behavior. Here we are, Talk of Asian Marketing, and we are in Shanghai after leaving Hong Kong. Had an exciting time there. We looked around, got a lot of consumer cam, lots of pictures on the site today, and we're going to summarize some of the things we found in Hong Kong before we go on with our new stuff in Shanghai. Lots of new stuff, and you can hear the new stuff because no matter where you go in Shanghai, you cannot get away from that noise. Well, actually, you can, but if you get away from that noise, you're going to get the traffic noise.
Oh, that's it, yeah. So right behind us, we've got these scooters racing along, we've got the bikes racing along, we've got these cars racing along.
Lots of horns.
And just right up here, what do you see? You see the bamboo scaffold just behind us, just on our right, further right.
Everywhere.
Probably even just behind those buildings there, there's a bit more going up. So this is Shanghai. It's growing real fast. You see all these lovely new buildings. A lot of it's really attractive. But of course, a little bit different from Hong Kong, where we've just come from. I think the retail scenery that we've seen in Hong Kong has been really interesting. Yes. I think some of those wet markets that we went to, or the traditional market, I found them all over the place, really, as we were walking through them, and there was one.
I think if you weren't really keeping your eye open and you're visiting Hong Kong with friends and they take you to restaurants, which are so easy to go to in Hong Kong, you might miss those markets. But they're really everywhere. That emphasis on freshness is so strong.
It is, yeah.
And so those wet markets, just like Taiwan, present a serious competition to anybody who wants to enter that market and the supermarkets that are already there, the hypermarkets that are already there. You said that you found a fresh food market near where our hotel was. Tell us about that.
That was really, it was a big one. It was just down from the Jade Market, close to our hotel, like about 3-4 minutes away from the hotel. Mainly focusing on the vegetables, on the fruit, and really, really packed. And it's really busy, lots of energy in there. In fact, I think it went over several streets as well. So probably we were on the vegetable fruit bit of it, and there were other bits that you could go to as well. And not a lot of haggling going on. You just do your business fairly quickly. But you could see a lot of the people that were coming were sort of locals and knew each other. They'd sort of get a bit of extra, put in the bag kind of thing. Yeah. Very busy. And you went to another one a little bit further away. Perhaps it wasn't kind of the same as what I was
seeing.
This is
called a roadside market. And of course, they're all regulated by the government. They're all health inspected and everything, or at least that's what the signs say. But they don't strike me as being physically very different from what we see in Taiwan, actually. And they'll have the signs up there saying they've been approved by the government. And I went into one, and they had different floors, actually. It was vertical. Different floors were divided in the subject. Not subject. I'm just being a teacher, right? Different categories of products. So you had poultry on one floor, beef on another floor, fresh vegetables on another floor. And I went up there and I got some really great consumer cam, especially the chicken, because they have the actual live chickens there, just like
chicken.
In Taiwan. And this is supposed to be phased out in Taiwan, actually. But you can still see that even in Hong Kong. Well, they have the cages piled up, ready for the chicken to be slaughtered fresh, right there in that area.
Great.
And it's a very tiny area. And what an interesting thing was, different stall owners would share one big cleaning room, where we've seen in some of my other video, where you gut the chicken and you have all the water.
Yeah.
Exact same thing as what I showed in the chicken episode, only here, it's a shared area for all the stall owners to come in and share with that. The one I went to, I think I might have missed the peak time. It wasn't very busy, but also I got a clue because there were a lot of closed stores there. So it may have been that area, but I have a suspicion that some of that paper we had read about, the papers from Professor Ho, he's a great researcher, and she has a couple papers we're going to link to in the show notes. And those papers talk about how supermarkets and hypermarkets adapt by adopting.
Yeah.
Right? And we saw that in a few places.
I think that's really interesting because clearly we saw the wet market and we saw that, you know, kind of a lot of it going on. But also, of course, the supermarkets are in there. And at the end of the day, when you're thinking of Hong Kong, you can't think of pretty much more modern kind of Asian city.
Of course, that would be a very modern place, right?
Big, bustling place. You've got all the modern transport, you've got lots of vehicles, got lots of people moving around in the banking sector, and yet you've still got this traditional sector
that's
so strong.
Yeah.
And I think that when we start to look at the supermarket, hypermarket sector, they're desperate to get in there, and how are they doing it? They're trying to move into this kind of fusion that you're talking about. And one chain that, of course, we hunted down, we kept looking for it, was this Park and Shop.
Park and Shop.
The interesting one that we came across was the Fresh. Was it Fresh? Am I getting the name right?
Taste.
Taste, that was it. We've been through so many places. So the Taste, which is a kind of upmarket version of the Park and Shop. What was your impression as you were going into
Well, the first thing I saw when we walked in the door was, of course, we were in a kind of upscale, I guess the Taste is the upscale one. Mm-hmm. And the space was very open, a lot of wide area when you came in. The service scape was designed to have that kind of going in area. In fact, the one we visited was in a shopping mall or shopping center. Mm-hmm. So it matches all the other stores. There's none of that inside out stuff. But when you do go in, they do kind of imitate that market feeling. They have the wicker baskets, they have the stands, they have sampling going on. And as you go back into the store, there are people behind the counters of the meat areas doing that butcher work for you there. They don't have live chickens. It's not that authentic. But they try to bring in some of that feeling. And people come in, they can ask questions, they can get help. And so I think it's not all just pre-packaged. But you said your observation was there was a lot of pre-packaged.
Yes, I felt in that particular one there was.
Taste.
But I think it's because it was in the mall, so people are tending just to cut through maybe and pick up a few things. I thought there was a lot of upscale kind of products, the sort of treat yourself well kind of products, the nice chocolates and so on.
Yeah, you kind of add a little bit of that hedonistic consumption.
That's right,
You know, it's not just the utility of buying the food, but also I can pay more and I can get a package that's all ready, and it's that hedonism. I remember when I was in America and I'd go shopping, and my wife would see that way. I just automatically would go for the boneless chicken. You know, just automatically go for the boneless chicken, and she just, you know, couldn't understand why, when right next to it is bone chicken for, you know, one-third less, right? Just a learned behavior, I guess, right? I learned not to have any more hedonistic consumption after that.
but that's so Chinese, isn't
it?
Yeah,
right.
You know, what's good value here? You know, you've got one that's so much more, one that's so much cheaper. Only you've got to do a little bit more to this one.
Yeah, what's wrong? I mean, the bones, you can use the bones for other things too, you know.
As well, particularly for Chinese cooking.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love that story.
So I think the higher end kind of gets that, tries to get best of both worlds, but it's more of an illusion, right?
But in the service game, so you saw quite a lot of people. I know we were talking about this before, and there's a lot of people, service staff in the store, but behaving in that very Asian kind of way of talking about the product, interacting with
a lot of information.
In-help kind of in terms of going around the store.
Yeah, they're not going out of their way to help people in the store to find what they're looking for, but a lot of sample, a lot of information, product specific information, a lot of help if you need to know what this product does.
Sure.
But besides that, I think it's still very
very minimalistic
on service side,
but the one that we really saw that took us right back to the fusion was that Welcome.
I thought the Welcome was really amazing. And we found that by accident. We were looking for more of these kinds of stores, but we did run in that Welcome. That was a bit of good luck, and that's a really small Welcome.
And it was really tucked in, wasn't it? We had to go right down these stairs into there.
Right down the stairs.
And what was the first thing that greeted you there? Right on the right? What did we see? That meat section. I mean, that was
as soon as you went into the store, of course, the first thing you see are the little tiny carts. They use the little tiny
Japanese-style
carts.
Isn't it?
But then once you get in a little bit, then the meat is right in there.
I love the way it's displayed. It was right up on hooks.
You went in there, and right on the right side was the meat stand, meat stall.
And those hooks there, they've just invited people to come up and touch and see whether it's really fresh.
Yeah, I mean, it looked exactly like a Taiwan meat stall.
It did.
Looked exactly like a Taiwan meat stall, only it was inside of a Welcome.
Yeah, it was great. And the service staff right in there again. I was asking about the chicken. She was telling me this one's skin, this one's no skin, this one's got the ginger there, it's got the onion. You know, you just cook it for a short time, boil it up.
She was cooking advice.
How to do it. That's right.
Cooking advice.
Right in on the product. Right. It was really interesting. And just 1 meter away, you've got a very typical kind of small supermarket format.
Yeah, it looks just like the stall.
Lots of products.
Oh, very narrow in that one. The meat stall has just been dropped right into the store. So then when I saw this, I thought Professor Ho's observations were really right on target.
Yes,
this is not just imitating it as we see in the taste a little bit, or as we have in our other footage of Welcome in Taiwan, the kind of fresh market as soon as you walk in, or as some other stores we talked about, they try to get the fresh out there. But this really put a meat stall right in there.
Yeah, and exactly like I say, sort of dropped in, which is that sort of, again, that feeling of just things just get put together.
Yep, I saw customers come in and they talk to the lady behind there and they just have that relationship. They already know who she is. As you said, you get some cooking advice. And I think it's also important to notice the person they choose, the demographic of that person.
Yes, the service staff are of that kind of similar age to the customer. So it's, you know, people talking
like a middle-aged lady.
Very comfortable.
Yeah, she wasn't chosen for her good looks or anything. She's obviously chosen because she's good with the meat.
Well, I don't know, you know. She wasn't that bad looking.
Okay.
The other
we
thing
do have consumer cam to prove this point.
The other thing that was interesting as a passing thought in the Welcome was in Taiwan, you often notice the cameras all around the service staff, particularly at the checkout. As you're walking through, they're just visible. The thing I noticed there was the absence, and I thought that was very...
Not a lot of security cameras.
Not a lot of security cameras. I think it's just a sort of passing observation that theft can't be a huge kind of deal there, that people are not out to thieve from the store. And even in that sort of small one, where it'd be very easy to fill your pockets and kind of leave with a few things you pay for, it was not didn't seem to be happening. It fits quite well with sort of... Asian
That's
research
good. I wonder
Singapore.
If they're just hidden better, maybe. I doubt it. But you must be right. That would be a good contrast, because now we're in
Shanghai.
I forgot where we were. I've lost track. Now we're in Shanghai. And I think we're going to see a different situation with security and cameras and theft and all those problems. So, wrap it up on Hong Kong. Any other observation?
I think it's just interesting, international. And but still, we've got that really strong Chinese flavor, and so many of the things that we see in Taiwan, we still see embedded.
Yeah, I think it would really be
a super modern city, you know,
super modern. It'd be so easy to miss them if you didn't know where to look, or you weren't keeping your eyes open, or you slept in too late, or something, or just going out to the pubs and hanging out. You might miss them, or you might think they're not that big; they're just some kind of hangover.
Yeah, indeed.
But I think in Hong Kong, they're not hangovers, because you need to also consider. How many people living in Hong Kong have a kitchen?
Indeed, yeah.
So there's not that many people out of the percentage-wise actually cooking. And if you don't have a family, you're just a person by yourself, it doesn't make sense to cook anyway, right?
Yeah.
So for the people who are cooking, though, then the question is, you know, are they really having this traditional emphasis on that freshness? And we think that's important in Chinese cooking, in Chinese culture. And the retailers that try to bring that in and in the right way can win, and the ones that don't, well, they're missing a great market opportunity.
And it's because people want to have that ability to assess freshness, and these kind of formats offer exactly that.
Yeah, it's just hanging right there. You can touch it, you can feel it, you can see it, you can talk to the people about it.
And that really assures people of what they're getting.
And they do have those signs up there saying they're government approved, that they've been tested, and that they're hygienic. And so I think a lot of Westerners, you know, they see a package, because it's wrapped in plastic, they think it's hygienic, right?
Yes.
I don't know what, you know, right? I don't know if that makes any difference at all. It's just unhygienic wrapped in a plastic.
It looks good, doesn't it? So it looks safe kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think that was a great experience in Hong Kong, and I think we're going to have a great time once
lots
we get
of good
to Shanghai to really compare and contrast.
We got a lot of good photos you can check out on the website, a lot of good consumer cam, and now we're going to move on to Shanghai.
Great.
We're here already, but we're wrapping up for Hong Kong. Now we're going to actually go out and do some shopping in Shanghai and take a look. Meow, 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 meow Meow.